Good afternoon. Thank you for calling Brilliant Smiles, where we create beautiful smiles one mouth at a time. This is Danny. May I help you?
Yes. I received a mailer, and I noticed that I can have a complimentary consultation exam and x-rays. I'd like to make an appointment.
That's terrific. You certainly may. My name is Danny. Can I ask who I'm speaking with?
This is Bill Blatchford.
Hi, Bill. How are you today?
I'm fine.
Good. Are you experiencing any kind of discomfort at this
time? Not at all.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Bill, I wonder if you could tell me who we could thank for referring you to us.
Actually, I don't know anybody in your practice. I'm new in town. What I'd really like to do is have my teeth cleaned.
Okay, well, I can certainly help you with that. Bill, I wonder if you'd mind if I placed you on hold for just a moment so I can get to my desk and give you my undivided attention.
Oh, that'd be fine.
All right, thank you. All right, so now, what did we do there? On the greeting, I enthusiastically introduced the office and myself. I listened carefully to the caller, and regardless of what he said, I told him I could help him with that. And I introduced myself again, and I asked if I could get his name. And I used his name, and I asked if he was experiencing any discomfort. I already pretty much knew he probably wasn't experiencing any discomfort because he told me he was calling based on a mailing. But that's still an opportunity to confirm it. It doesn't cost a lot of time, and you gain so much from it. I then asked him who to thank for referring him. Again, I knew he was calling in response to a mailer, but I asked anyway. Why did I do that? Because I wanted to convey the enthusiasm and the assumption that he must be calling because a member of our happy patient family suggested that he call. Then I assumed I was very busy and needed to clear my head and reprioritize, so I asked for his permission to place him on hold so I could give him my undivided attention. I would do that assuming that I have a current and correctly operating on-hold message.
Another thing you did is I asked to have my teeth cleaned, and you said I can help you with that, which you can. And this is one of my themes that I've taught for the last 25 years is many people, when I'm in front of a seminar filled with dental office team members, I will portray it as, hello, I'm new in town. I'd like to have my teeth cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, dentistry for years has said to them, we don't do it that way. Wait a minute. Can you clean my teeth? Yes, of course you can clean my teeth. Remember, be positive.
Sure.
Yes, you're going to do an exam first. I know that. Every state in the country requires the dentist do an exam of some type before we clean their teeth. But the answer is, can you clean my teeth? And
that's
Danny
right.
said, yes, we can.
That's right. We don't have to get into the details at this point. How do you think it would have gone if when Bill said that, I said, well, we can't clean your teeth until we have a thorough examination. What kind of insurance do you have?
It wouldn't have gone far.
Not very far.
Number one, I don't have insurance.
Oh, okay. Well, then this would be full fee. We do require payment in advance at time of service.
Well, that'll be fine.
Okay. And then, you know, yeah, you could challenge me to throw up some other hurdles to see if I could get you to not come in.
When you're asking about what type of insurance do I have, I don't have insurance. Can I come anyway?
Of course you can.
But you see, that's the question you get when you ask that question. I think it's worthwhile asking that question, but maybe there's another way we could ask it. At a different time. But right now, you do not put hurdles in front of the patient to make that appointment. I would just simply follow that up. Bill, I would say in a positive way that, Bill, we have an opening for you next week or this week or whatever. One of the things I would like to see said at this point was, Bill, is there a particular event that you'd like to have your teeth? Is there an event coming up?
That's right. A key of sales to find out is why now? Why is this patient calling you now?
Because if I have a wedding to go to next week, I want my teeth cleaned before that wedding so I can look my nicest. And if you don't get it done, or perhaps I have a job interview or something, and you better find that out. Now, if the patient were to say, well, I have a job interview coming up, I would say, oh, that's wonderful. Which is it one of the local companies? I would act interested.
Exactly.
Or if they said a wedding, oh, is it in town or out of town? Is it your wedding or someone else's wedding?
You see, the shortest distance to a point is not always a straight line. And what Bill is demonstrating is more opportunity to establish rapport and convey empathy and then move on to enthusiasm. But if a person is calling for whatever reason, it's a good idea to find out why, if you can, respectfully, once you've gotten a comfort level with them, because now you're letting the person talk. And when the person talks, you're learning about who they are and what's important to them. And you can confirm that you're a good listener. And now you're making a friend, which is something else I think we wanted to make very clear. You really have dual objectives, or I suggest you consider two objectives when people call you. And that's to make an appointment and make a friend. Obviously, the friendship doesn't happen until you have a chance to connect with this caller in person.
You know, there's an old axiom in sales that if you and I are going to do business, we'll work out the details.
That's right.
And if you and I are not going to do business, the details don't matter. And I think sometimes we get into details way too fast with these people. And so I'm going to ask questions to find out what's important to them. For this person wants their teeth cleaned, well, bottom line is I want to know why they want their teeth cleaned. For example, do they have an event coming up in the next few days? And if the answer is yes, well, then my job is to get them in before that event. And sometimes I would ask a question, you know, I know you've got our mailer and you're probably coming in to evaluate our office for perhaps further treatment or bringing your family. And you can kind of laugh about that a little bit or something, just make it light. If you were to evaluate us on a scale 1 to 10 at the end of that next appointment, if we were to get a 10, what would be some of your expectations you'd want us to meet?
It's a great question, Bill.
And just ask, because you see, if someone's evaluating you, which aren't we always evaluating every situation we're in, we'll find out what you're being evaluated on.
Right. You're giving them permission to do it, and you're also controlling the situation so that you're going to receive the feedback. I mean, that empowers the person. The person feels empowered, and you have the opportunity to hear very clearly exactly what you need to do to satisfy this person.
And I would add here that some of you may say, well, that gets a little chatty, that's a little over the top. I want you to notice something that we do in this conversation. We don't talk about ourselves. For example, if they say they're going to a wedding in Toledo, Ohio, they really don't care about the fact that you went to a wedding in Toledo, Ohio 6 years ago of your second cousin.
Excellent point.
Sometimes we think that building rapport is looking for common ground, but in working with a psychiatrist for 2 years on this subject, he pointed out that most people don't look for common ground. We look for higher ground. So, oh, where's the wedding? Oh, it's in Toledo, Ohio. You know, I just got back from a wedding in Honolulu.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? It's like all of a sudden you just deflated them completely.
That's right. So, and we convince ourselves that we're really establishing rapport because, well, I'm exactly as you said, Bill, I'm sharing my interests that are similar to yours. Let's save that until they ask us a question about ourselves.
Exactly. I mean, I think one of the greatest interviewers that I'm aware of is Barbara Walters. And, you know, Barbara Walters asks lots of questions to the people she's interviewing, and you find out nothing about Barbara Walters in that interview. And that's why she gets paid millions of dollars for those interviews.
That's exactly right.